This episode of the Cosmosis Podcast is brought to you by Low Vintage Instrument Company, located in downtown Burlington, North Carolina. Follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and visit their website at lowvintage.com. Not only do they have some of the finest new and used instruments you'll find anywhere, but they also have the great accessories that you need by some of today's top brands. So find your timeless tone today at lowvintage.com, that's lowevintage.com, and tell them you appreciate their support of the Cosmosis Podcast. Welcome to episode number 30 of the Cosmosis Podcast. I am Justin Moses, your host. Today's going to be a bit of an abbreviated episode as I prepare to leave for Raleigh tomorrow, which will be Wednesday. Today is Tuesday, September the 27th, 2016. And the IBMA convention is going on in Raleigh starting today. And for those of you who might not know, IBMA stands for International Bluegrass Music Association. And this is the week they have their business conference and the Wide Open Bluegrass Festival this weekend. And on Thursday night is the IBMA Awards Show, which I will be attending. And Sierra is up for 3 awards this year. She's up for Mandolin Player of the Year, Song of the Year for Black River, and Album of the Year for Weighted Mine. And she's actually co-hosting the awards this year with Dan Tomansky. So I'm looking forward to being there. We're actually playing on the award show. And then playing a show on Saturday for the Street Fest. So if you're not familiar with IBMA, but you might be thinking about coming, they have... The Wide Open Bluegrass Festival on the weekend consists of 2 different things at this point. You have the free portion, which is the Street Fest, and that's what we're playing at 6:15 on the City Plaza stage. And there's multiple stages around town. You can come and hear all kinds of music for free. But the big show at the Red Hat Amphitheater is a paid ticketed event, and man, they have a great lineup this year for that too. I know Marty Stewart's playing on Friday, and Ricky Skaggs, and several others, the Earls of Leicester, just a bunch of great acts. You can check it out at wideopenbluegrass.com. I'm looking forward to that. That being the case, and so many people from the world of bluegrass and acoustic music being there, I'm hoping to be able to record some podcasts right there on the spot. Never know how that's going to go because everybody's running around, you know, doing this and doing that. So it might be tough to get people scheduled, you know, for time that works for both parties. But if nothing else, I hope to make some contacts and get some things scheduled even outside the event, but we'll see what happens. Speaking of future guests, I've talked recently with my old boss I just mentioned there, Ricky Skaggs. He has agreed to come on the podcast, and we're going to try to get together while we're both in Raleigh and set a date for that, and I'll be announcing that on Facebook or Twitter and all the social media outlets when that gets scheduled for sure. You can be looking for it in the next few weeks, hopefully. And we played last Friday at the Watermelon Park Festival in Virginia and played there with Sam Bush, and I mentioned it to Sam Bush as well, and he seemed willing to do it. We didn't set a time yet to do it, but it looks like you could be looking for interviews from Ricky Skaggs and Sam Bush coming up, amongst others. Speaking of Skaggs, I also will be filling in a couple of dates here in town with him toward the end of October. And one of those is at the Musicians Hall of Fame, and the other one's an event for ASCAP. I'm not sure whether that's a public event or not, but you can look into that, and I'll be posting more about it as it gets closer, if it is indeed a public event. I want to go back a few weeks and talk about a show that I played at Third and Lindsley. I did last week's podcast and didn't mention it, but number 29 with Jenny Lynn. Just before that, I played this show on a Wednesday at Third and Lindsley. It was a tribute to Jerry Reed. And to be completely honest, you know, I'm aware of Jerry Reed, and I actually had seen him on Porter Wagner show that comes on RFD TV, like the reruns of that. I'm not sure if it still does, but I know in the last few years it's come on quite a bit. And I caught him on there, and, you know, just vaguely familiar with a few of his songs. But in doing this show, I got to learn some of his tunes, and at the show, I only played on, I think, 3 tunes overall on the show, but just hearing him performed live really made me appreciate his music a whole lot. And if you're not familiar with him, you might want to dig into his music a little bit, because there's some really cool things. His style of playing guitar is really cool, and he wrote some really cool tunes on the guitar. But I got to play some twin banjos on Eastbound and Down, and one other tune, and twin fiddles on another tune. So that was a good time. That's an annual event, so you can look ahead to next year, and it should be happening again right there at Third and Lindsley. Another thing that I am involved in, you know, quite heavily from time to time, is recording sessions, and I have a lot of fun doing those. And one of the things that I recorded on the other day, and I did it right here at home, was record some fiddle for the new Blue Moon Rising record. Now, Chris West has been a guest on the show, and Keith Garrett has as well, and they're both a part of this new Blue Moon Rising record that I added some fiddle to. But it was fun to get to hear that and see what I could add in on it, and I think you'll enjoy what they're doing. The main thing I wanted to address today, though, deals with a question I got from one of the show's listeners. I always enjoy getting your questions, and I encourage you to keep sending in your ideas for future guests and your feedback on the show. I really do appreciate it, and it helps me make decisions as I'm going along. And if you've not already, please go to iTunes and subscribe, and rate and review the show, and share this show on social media as well. That really helps out, you know, get a little bit more awareness for people to see it, and hopefully listen to it, and hopefully like it. But this comes from Dan, and I guess I'll just read the email down, and then I'll try to respond to it. Justin, I especially enjoyed the podcast you did regarding your trip with Sierra and Ethan to Northern California. It was very eye-opening for me, since I sort of expected, in parentheses, boy was I wrong, to hear about limos and assistance, etc. Instead, I heard about you getting your own rental cars, dragging, or as I would say, schlepping, luggage, and basically traveling like regular people instead of like showbiz people, end quotes. I take it even bluegrass, quote, stars like yourselves are not in the upper income brackets. In that regard, I think it would be interesting to hear a podcast about the nitty-gritty business side of bluegrass. Example, without getting too personal or into any specific amounts, do people like you and Ethan have agents / attorneys negotiate with someone like Sierra or her management? Do you do it yourself? Is it customary to be paid per show, per month, per tour? Is it necessary to tour throughout the whole year, like you're doing now, to earn sufficient income? Must artists supplement with studio work? I note that Flat Lonesome, which he supposes is the biggest band right now, seem to tour extensively and even play small festivals and venues. One of the sisters said from the stage they were finally making an income, quote, sort of, If they're not raking it in, could anyone be in bluegrass? Okay? So that's Dan's question. Now let's take it piece by piece, I guess. Okay, so limos and assistants. No and no. There's not really either of those. Limos, let's see. I've ridden in a limo, I want to say, 2 or 3 times in my life. And that's always special circumstances, you know, where somebody has set it up for the act. And it's just very, very rare that that would be the case. Assistants, now there are artists, even close to like my realm, that have assistants. So that does happen, not for like a side musician like myself, but the artist sometimes. So he heard about us getting our own rental cars and doing all that kind of stuff. And so, yeah, that was one of my concerns when I started doing the podcast, was kind of like ruining someone's image of what an artist is in certain ways. But these days, for the most part, I feel like that information is out there anyway, for one. And I mean, what is there to protect in a certain regard, you know? I find it better to just be open and talk about what's really happening, you know, than to try to put on an image that's not true. I know in the past that's been something that artists probably would think is more to their advantage, to seem like they're in a better position than they are. And it still may be the case to a certain extent. You know, when you post on social media and you do all the things that you do to promote your music, you definitely put forward the best image you can within reason. And some people are willing to go further than others to kind of portray a certain image, like they're doing big things and they're successful. I'm not fond of that myself. I participate in it to a certain extent because I do post about the things I do. And part of that's just sharing, you know, just sharing what you're doing with your family and your friends and hopefully what fans you have. So I, to a certain extent, I feel like that's even a balance of just what things you show of yourself that you're doing or how successful you are or not, you know. Everything doesn't have to be braggadocious or it doesn't have to be completely self-demeaning, you know. You don't have to show the worst side of yourself either. So hopefully most people can find, you know, a bit of a balance there. But he said, I take it even bluegrass stars like yourselves are not in the upper income brackets. I would say that's definitely true. for me anyways, most bluegrass acts are nowhere near it. There are a handful, you know, you could probably name them on 2 hands, you know, the number of acts that are really financially successful. And you mentioned Flat Lonesome later in the email. They are a band that they're on the rise. They won Emerging Artist of the Year either last year or the year before. At this point, some of that stuff, you know, it runs together in my mind, you know, from year to year, which band won which year. But they would not, as far as I don't know their financial situation, you know, nor do I know many acts in bluegrass situation as they stand now. mostly the ones that I've been in, I have a good idea. And so, therefore, I have a good idea where other people like them are. But when he said, I suppose, is the biggest band right now, being Flat Lonesome, I don't, that just wouldn't seem to be the case in regards to the financial side. Now, they're gaining acclaim, and rightfully so, and they may get there, you know, at some point. But folks like Rhonda Vincent, Doyle Lawson, Ricky Skaggs, who plays bluegrass, Dalian Vincent, not sure who else I'm leaving out, but those are obvious people that would be doing the best financially. And then, I mean, if you include Alison Krauss as a bluegrass act, I mean, she would be number one, period, as far as that goes. There'd be no question. But she's almost, you know, not really a bluegrass act in that regard. She's more of a mainstream act in that sort of sense, if I'm making any sense whatsoever. But and he said, if they're not raking it in, could anyone be in bluegrass? Well, that goes back to what I just said. The people I mentioned probably doing pretty well, you have to imagine. And most of those, I guess I left out Del McCurry. Most of those have been in it for years and have really established themselves. Like in Ricky's case, it was he really established himself in country music and made a great living there, made a great reputation. And then in 97 or whatever year it was, he transitioned back into bluegrass. And, you know, through his success, he was able to demand more money than most bluegrass artists would. And you have to think, you know, that that's somewhat continuing to through today. You know, I don't know. I'm just kind of talking from what I do know of it. Without getting into anything too personal or into specific amounts, do people like you and Ethan have agents, attorneys, negotiate with someone like Sierra or her management? And that's a no. And that for people like us, you know, that would be very foreign, you know. It's always been a friendly kind of relationship with anybody that I've worked with up until this point. You know, and I started out being in a band that was an equal partnership band, Blue Moon Rising. And then moved into some situations where I was working for people. But even in those situations where I was working for people, it was more like we were friends and co-workers than having this cold business relationship. Now, you have to learn to... I think that's a part of it, of being a side musician sort of person like myself, or you know, a lot of the people I know and I'm associated with. You have to learn how to sort of stand up for yourself and, you know, handle your business. But to have somebody working with you like that would be foreign in bluegrass. Let me just put it that way. I just had a conversation with this with somebody else who mentioned some other sort of side musician in another field that does have an agent that negotiates with the band he's playing with. And so that's cool. So I guess that happens in a lot of other kinds of music, but it wouldn't be any sort of standard practice in bluegrass. And he also asks, is it customary to be paid per show, per month, per tour? So, in that regard, I'm sure some people handle it differently than others. Most, any situation I've been in, it's been pay per show or pay per date kind of thing, and not on salary. There, I know through the years there have been people who are on salary with this act or that act, but most everything that I know of has been per show. That seems to be the standard, in other words, for like bluegrass music. Moving on to the next part of the question. Is it necessary to tour throughout the whole year like you're doing now to earn sufficient income? In most cases, that would be yes. Like for a more traditional bluegrass band that really relies on the festival season, maybe the highest concentration is going to be in the summer, with the winter months kind of being a little bit more bare. But it depends on what kind of income you're looking for, you know. And that kind of gets back into what kind of artist as well, because if you are very limited to like playing festivals and that sort of thing, well, that does limit your income. You know, if you don't have a show where you can sell hard tickets to come out and see just you at a theater, then you just don't have that much earning potential, you know, beyond festivals. Festivals generally pay pretty good because they, you know, for the most part, if they're an established festival, they know there will be an audience. And if you're trying to sell hard tickets, you know, the person putting on the show wants to know that you're going to sell tickets. And so that's something I know that Sierra's focused on, and rightfully so, is gaining an audience that will come and pay to hear just you. Because in the winter months and things like that, it's necessary if you want to continue to make a living. Yeah, so is it necessary? Absolutely. At this point, you know, until you can become an artist that demands enough money to just go do a tour, a short tour, and just rake in all kinds of cash. And that just in bluegrass doesn't really happen for the most part. You can count the number of times it has, again, on probably one or two hands at the most, probably one hand on that, you know, maybe one finger as far as that goes. But yeah. Must artists supplement with studio work? And that, I would say, must they? No. It depends on your individual position. Musicians are so different. I know a lot of musicians, and I know that many of their circumstances are just way different than mine. But when you use that's another thing that I've been thinking about a lot in the last few days, is the differences in the different kinds of musicians. And any musician can be an artist in their own way, but there are some people that are more of a mind to be an artist. They have to make music that is theirs. And then there's plenty of people that are musicians who are completely fine making other people's music and completely fine recording on other people's albums, just being a studio musician. And they're not necessarily their own artist. And for myself, I don't know that I've ever figured out exactly what I am or what I want to be. And I don't know that a lot of times that you do. But there's a part of me that always longs to make my own music. So that's something I foresee myself doing in the future, along with playing other people's music. I want to do that as well. So I enjoy hopefully adding to somebody's project, but I don't think that everybody for sure must do studio work to kind of supplement it. But for me, I sort of do need that, you know. My career at this point in my life and for the last several years has been very comprehensive. I've done website design for a couple people, and hey, if there's somebody out there listening to this that wants me to do that, shoot me an email about that. You know, I'm still open to doing that. Justin@JustinMoses.com. But there's that, and then the studio work, just doing gigs. If somebody needs another musician on a specific gig, I'm open to that. And then there's the main gig going at the time. And right now for me, that's playing with Sierra. And I'm doing this podcast, which, you know, is not a big financial boom, but, you know, hopefully it can be a part, you know, hopefully it can be an avenue where people get to know me and hopefully appreciate my music and appreciate what I'm trying to do. And really, it's you know, someone in my position has to try to diversify and be involved in a lot of different things to be successful. And so that's what I'm trying to do and trying to still just figure it all out. I know a lot of people that I talk to, we get into conversations from time to time about a lot of the same sort of things, like, well, what is it you want to do, or what's next? You know, that's always the question, what's next? Because it's a never-ending cycle of figuring out what's next. And for me, I would love to make another record and trying to figure out what it needs to be. And I've got a couple other projects in mind. You know, I've thought about several things. So hopefully that gives you a little bit of insight into it. I know I've not went into tremendous depth, and hopefully I'll come back to this even again in a future episode and lend a little bit more if I can. But I really appreciate you tuning in today. I invite you to like my Facebook page, facebook.com/JustinMosesMusic. And also, there's a Facebook page for this show specifically. It's facebook.com/CosmosesPodcast. You can find me on Twitter. I'm at JustinMoses2. And I have a YouTube channel. I've mentioned that on here. We've crossed the year point a few episodes back, and I mentioned it then, but I've been meaning for a while and continue to look out for this. You know, it may take me another few weeks to get it done, but I want to make a sort of a highlight video of some of the clips from this show. And, you know, just looking to expand everything, and hopefully this week at IBMA in Raleigh will be a part of that. Got some new business cards I'll be taking with me and passing out to everybody. And hope to increase the listenership. I appreciate your support and your listening to this, and I hope you'll continue. Again, I'll say, reminder that I've got some good guests coming up in the future. Ricky Skaggs, Sam Bush. I've got confidence that I'll be able to snag a few more as this week progresses. So stay with me, and if you'll support the show, I'll do my best to produce good shows for you. And until next time, this is Justin Moses signing off for the Cosmoses Podcast.